Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful to be here and together in your presence. And Lord, we just offer all things up to you. And I pray you just move among us. Just visit us this morning, Lord, and speak to us in a special way. Just anoint me to speak words of the Spirit and open each heart to receive of the Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for your love, your goodness, and your promises, Lord. And so we give all thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. We'll have an overhead here, but Philippians chapter 3, 20 and 21. The message is on citizenship. And I think when you look around the world, I think a lot of the problems we have, and some of the problems we have as a church, you know, as a whole, we don't understand where our citizenship is. And so we want to look at that this morning. So if you will, look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. It says this: "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." So what we see here, which is really important, the Christian citizenship is in heaven. You know, we say we're a citizen of the United States, or we're a citizen of this country, or citizens, and you know, here, and so we know what that means. But so Paul talks about it, and the Bible says, okay, Christians, you're a citizen of heaven. That's your that's your identification card, you know, when you reckon that you're a citizen of heaven. That's how God looks at Christians. And so as we look at this and we see our citizenship, you know, in heaven, that would mean all the earthly things are at best secondary. They're secondary because primary things are where our citizenship is, which is in heaven. And so believers belong to the city whose architect and builder is God. So I don't know if any of you, like if you go to, and it's very interesting about this, and be true about anybody in their country, but here you go on a trip, you know, a different country, and you come back and you go, "I'm glad I'm home." You know, it's a nice visit, but I'm glad I'm home. You know, well, God says your citizenship is heaven. And when you're going to be there, you go, "I'm glad I'm home." You know, the visit on earth was, okay, saw a lot of things, but I'm glad I'm home. So what we have here is that our eyes should be open, if this is true, and it is true, but for us to grasp the reality, our eyes should be heavenward. They're looking at heaven, and what we're anticipating is the return of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, now, you think about this, this has impact, an eager expectation of his return does much to protect the believer from earthly and sensual enticements. Because we know, no, this is citizen, and Jesus is coming back. That's the reality. And it's the reality that we live in. Then if we believe, then we adjust our thinking to that reality. We don't have that reality, we adjust our thinking to different kinds of things. And that Jesus is coming back, and it's going to be like in 30 minutes. I say, okay, I'm excited about this, and I'm not going to do anything too stupid. It's just like that. Well, you kind of carry that out. No, Jesus is coming back tomorrow. All right, well, I can't wait for that. And it affects my behavior. And we're supposed to look at Jesus like he's coming back any minute. The Bible tells us like he's coming back. Well, that's the truth, and that's exciting, and he'll take us up to be with him. But it also, if we grasp that belief, it impacts what we do right this minute. Now, I don't know about you. There's a few things that I wouldn't want to be doing when he shows up. It's like, oh, shucks. You know what I'm saying? So it impacts you know, our behavior, our individual behavior, and that's the point that the Apostle Paul is making here. So we have to understand that our citizenship is in another country. It's in another country. It's not here. And also, Christ, the leader of this country, will return and transform our mortal bodies into the character of his resurrected body. Follow that? And by the way, if you look at Christianity, you know, there's a lot of different views and there's a lot of different ways of doing things, and you know, it can be confusing to something. But true Christianity has core value that they all have to be Christian. Number one, Jesus has died on the cross for our sins. If a church or someone calls it and doesn't have that belief, they're not Christians. They're not. Now they have that, and it's like, okay, we got to figure this other stuff out. But we know he died on the cross for our sins. We are forgiven. Another one is he comes back. Every Christian religion around the globe believes he's coming back. See, that's fundamental. And if someone, well, I don't think Jesus is coming, you're not a Christian. You don't understand anything about Christianity, and it's a falsehood. So we're forgiven. He died on the cross, we're forgiven, and he comes back. That's uniform. All Christianity, those things. So he's coming back, and that's what this is talking about. He is coming back. And when he comes back, he's going to transform us to be like him. Our bodies are going to be transformed when he comes back. Now, so what this means is, and I'm going to read it just so, this means believers will be transformed and will receive glorified bodies that will more adequately display the essential character as children of God and sharers of divine life. And what that means, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he enters in, and he transforms us. He teaches us. He's working within us all the time. When he comes back, and I always do this to be silly, but grab your little cheek. Go ahead. Come on, go ahead. Grab your little cheek. He changes this. He changes this. All right? And I don't know if you know that this, you got your little cheek, causes us a bunch of problems. It just really does, you know. Well, he's going to change that. Now, again, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He enters in. We're transformed. And he constantly teaches us. And we know that we'll be in heaven with him in spirit, you know, together. But when he comes back, he gives us a body like his body. So we have his spirit like him that's teaching us. Now we're going to have a body that functions like him, like he came back in his resurrected body. All right? Amen? So that's a happening thing. That's what's going to happen. And that's the story. Well, this is where he's the leader, and this is our citizenship there. That's our promise. That's our future. Now, this will be accomplished by the same effective operation that will bring all things in the universe under the authority of Christ. Now, I say that because the whole picture here, I mean, when we're here on this earth, you know what we're focused on? We're focused on our little cheek here. You know, I'm just being honest. Us. You know, in fact, you know, some of us may think we are the center of the universe. You know, I mean, your children think they are the center of the universe. That's why they fall down squeal when they don't get their way. I mean, the universe is around me. And some people grow up, and they grow up the same way. I'm the universe. No, when Jesus comes back, we accept Jesus, he enters in, we're transformed from within. He comes back, he transforms our body like his body that functions as a spiritual body beyond anything we can imagine. But at that same time, he transforms the earth, the universe, and it's that same power he transforms us. I mean, we're talking about a huge, huge makeover. All right, makeover. And that's what's happening, and that's what he's telling us here. Now, so what we have here, How should this impact us, you know, if we believe this? Now, we say we believe it, you know, we believe it, you know, but sometimes we say we believe stuff, but not going to do it, you know. Like, you ever watch these people jump off these bungee cords like that? Now, some people, and some of you here, well, that'd be something. Now, I think all these people are idiots. I'm just telling you. They just don't, you know, they don't know what. Somebody, well, they put on the bungee cord and say, okay, jump off. This will hold you. He believes it. He jumps off. You know, I'm over here. I said, yeah, I believe it. I ain't jumping off. See, then no faith on my part. You know, so it's the same thing with Jesus coming back. Yeah, I believe it. But you're not going to jump off the cliff. You know? But then there's something. No, I believe it. I'm going to live like I believe it. See the difference there? And so what we have here, if we believe this, that our citizenship is in heaven, and Jesus is going to come back and transform us, or give us a spiritual body, it affects how we behave. Now, one person who believed this 110% and speaks of it is the Apostle Paul. Okay, now I'm going to show you how this affected the Apostle Paul's behavior, because he believed this, totally believed it. You know, his home's in heaven, Jesus is coming back, he's going to be transformed. Well, here's how he thought, because he believed this. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 through 23. He said this, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." He's got the bungee cord. You know, he's not, "I'm jumping. I believe I'm jumping. You know, I'm over here with the bungee. Yeah, I believe, but I'm not going to jump. Because, you know, that cord, you know, what that cord's going to hold me. You know, I'm like, mm-mm, you know." So the point I'm making is, there's that point. Do we really grasp that? And do we put our lives that we trust that? And we're going to live it out. And that's what the Bible's telling us to do. So he says, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. I'm going to do stuff. And I'm going to accomplish some things if I'm here in the flesh. Yet, which I shall choose, I cannot tell." Well, he said, you know, whether to live or to die, I don't know which one I choose. You know, I'm over here in the bungee cord. I ain't jumping on it. No way. You know, I've chosen. You know, I'm convinced this thing will hold you. I'm not jumping. But he's going like, no, I'm here. I'll jump. I'll stay. Yeah, I don't know which one's the better. And so this is what he said. "Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two." I can't get my arms around it. Which one would I do? "I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, because that's better." Now look at what he said. I have a job here on earth, and I'm working for Jesus, and he's given me strength, and I'm glad to do that, and I want to be here to do it. But if he gives me the option to be with him, gosh, I'd hate to leave you guys, and I love you, but man, I'd love to just go with Jesus, because it's far better. See what he's saying? He understands where his citizenship is. That's what that is. He understands where his citizenship is. And again, all of our believers' citizenship is heaven. It's all of us have the same thing. It's just some of us don't believe it. Or some of us believe it, but they're not going to jump. You know, they're not going to jump. You see what I mean? And that's what he's saying. So here we step back this. Understanding our citizenship helps us to live life and face death. It's all understanding our citizenship. Now, here's the thing that you kind of go back and you understand. When Paul wrote the letter of Philippians, you could look it up, anything, and it's a proven fact, he was in prison. He was in prison. More likely than not, some think it happened then or some happened later, and he was to be executed. That's the context. He wrote this. And he said, "I'm not worried about it." I mean, that's what he's saying. I mean, I'm sure he must have been somewhat concerned. But he said, I don't say, "We can, you know, let you out, you can go be with Jesus." Gosh, that's a hard one, you know. But that's to understand how this was written. So, understanding our citizenship impacts how we live our life and face death. Face death. Often, we are so attached to this physical world that heaven seems almost like a dream, and we have a hard time grasping the reality of heaven. However, the scriptures declares heaven as the superior reality and the physical world more like the passing dream. We're living the dream, okay? Because the reality is in heaven. This thing is not, you know, I mean, this is all you, and you heard it, this is all you can get. And I think if a lot of people ask this is all you can get. And we go, no, this is just a passing. The reality is in heaven. I mean, can you imagine this the dream? This is what you, but this is what, this in God's eye, this is, you're like living a dream because we're going to see the reality in heaven. You, oh my gosh. I never dreamed this. You know, you see what I'm saying? So that's the truth. Now listen to this. Paul saw death as bringing gain because he would be with Christ. He's going home. Death for him would be a departure from this present state, and it would be like the release of a prisoner from his bonds. Going to be heaven? It's just like getting out of prison. That's how he looked at it. I said, it's just like getting out of prison. This impacted his thinking. This impacted the way he functioned. This impacted on the things he did. And the guy would suffer through anything because he knew where his citizenship was. He knew where it was going. So it came with understanding. I mean, we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit and he giving us truth. But it's our understanding, and do we believe it and grasp hold of it? And, I mean, we could say, any of us as believers, well, when I die, I'm going to heaven. You know, but I'm thinking, you know, I'm not going to die for another 20 years. And so, well, it's like, well, no, you have opportunity. How about going right now? No, I don't want to go down. See, Paul thought about it. I wouldn't think about it. No, I won't go right now. But Paul, well, I don't know, man. That's a good offer. That's a good offer to go. Now, the point of it is, how does it impact us as we function in this life? This life, I've heard people say, it's just going to hell in a handbasket. It is. You know, I think I'm not a citizen here, and I really feel bad for everybody else, so I think I'll just go to my country, you know, and let this president run it, which is Jesus. So that's the concept, how we function, how we should function in this world and understand what's going on around us. It's where people's destiny is, where their home is, and what country their citizenship is. And this is what it's done. So as believers, this is our citizenship. Now, so when Paul saw that death was not a catastrophe. It was not a catastrophe. I mean, it's like, I mean, I can't, I, you know me, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, it's like, okay, Lord, I won't be with you. But, you know, it's like you're standing on the train track and the train's coming. And say, man, that first impact I'm not looking for. You know, it's just like, gosh, I hate that. You know, I just like to go, you know, my wife, Linda, we've talked about the rapture. And she says, I'm going up in the rapture. I don't know why she didn't tell him I'm coming with her, but she just says she is, and I'm thinking, that's the way I want to go. You know, the Lord just, take me. It's like that. I just hate being on the track, and the train hit me, and then I go. You know, anyway, so I'm just, that's how me thinking. There's nothing theological about this. That's just me and how I'm, yes, God, I won't be with you. But gosh, I don't, how am I going to get there? You know, it's just like, I don't want that train to hit me. I don't care how that, I mean, it's going to hit. I mean, it's got to hit for me to get there, you know. And so the first impact, it really bothers me. But Paul wasn't bothered by such things like that. Now, so we want to look at this. We understand what's happening. And so Paul saw death is not a catastrophe. He said this is better by far because it would bring him to the goal of his Christian life. It would bring him rest from his labors and joy of eternal fellowship with Christ. That's what's awaiting us. That's what's awaiting us. And so, men, we want to get everything right on this earth. We want to have our joy on this earth. We want everybody to fall in shape on this earth. Well, it's not going to happen. And God never meant this to be heaven. He never meant this to be heaven. Right? He didn't. We're trying to make it heaven. He said, it's not. We're supposed to have an impact to point people to heaven. And we're Christ, and we're all in citizenship in one country. All believers are single citizens in one country, you know. And Jesus makes it right. Jesus makes it right. Now, so as we think about it, we think we're basing what we see in the Bible, in the Spirit, we know it. But again, to embrace it, we have to understand and believe it, you know, and believe that faith. Now, that is something that we do by faith. You know, I'm thinking about when Thomas, you know, he said, they said, hey, Jesus is risen. Thomas said, no, I saw you. He didn't. He did. You know, he don't feed me that, you guys. And he said, I'm not going to believe until I see the holes in his hands and stick my finger in the hole in his side. I'm not going to believe it. So Jesus appears to Thomas. Hey, Thomas. You know what Thomas said? I love what Thomas said. He appears to me. He goes, oh, Lord, my God. That's what he said. That's it. Okay. Oh, Lord, my God. That just, you know, period. And he goes, Thomas, look at the hole in my hand and put your hand in my side. It's like, okay. You know, but then he says this, Thomas, blessed are those who believe and haven't seen. You know who that is? That's us. See, that's us. See, so there's a blessing for believing and we haven't seen. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, when God called the Apostle Paul, and again, you got to remember Paul. Paul's a little different category. He's a guy just like me and you, you know, but when he called Paul, he told him, and you understand, Paul wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, okay? Paul, you know, the other apostles too, but Paul was such a focus for the Christian church of seeing the Christian church established. God worked through him and gave him visions and revelations and stuff. So he's a unique guy. He's a very unique guy. But with the visions and revelations came persecution. And so when God called Paul, he told him, he actually told Ananias, but he told him, Ananias, because when Jesus appeared, Paul went blind, he couldn't see. And he said, take Paul to Ananias and he will lay hands on him and pray for him. And Ananias will tell Paul. You know what's I mean? Ananias will tell Paul, oh man, this high five, you're in the kingdom, you know, walk, you know, like that. That's not what he told him. He says, the apostle said, and you tell Paul how much he's going to have to suffer for me. That's his calling. I mean, we got 3/4 of the New Testament, and this is the same guy. This same guy. But God knew he took Paul's understanding of his weakness, of his flesh, and he says, this is going to be so tough, Paul. I'm going to give you a vision, a reality to help you persevere. Because you're going to think, you're going to get the point and say, man, I don't know if this is working out or not. I can't. Man, I'm being pressed to the limit. So God said, it's going to be so bad, I'm going to show you something so you will have more strength to do what you have to do. And this was it. He gave Paul a peek into heaven. He gave him a peek into where his citizenship was. And he caught Paul up into the third heaven, the dwelling place of Christ and the saints, which Jesus called paradise. Third heaven, paradise, heaven, same thing. He called Paul up, he gets a peek. And he says this, 2 Corinthians 12:2-4. Paul says, I know a man in Christ. He's talking by himself. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was was caught up to the third heaven. Now we'll just say, he's caught up to, where'd he go? He went to his country. He went to his country where his citizenship was. That's where he's caught up to, you know. He's caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up to paradise. Remember what Jesus said to the thief on the cross? He said, the thief said, Lord, remember me. And Jesus says, today, today you will be with me in paradise. Same thing. So, I mean, thief, he got there the way the rest of us are going to get there. He died. Paul got a peek into paradise. He didn't die. So, he is caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard, talking about, and I heard things that cannot be told, which a man may not utter. He's just like, I mean, this is incomprehensible. It's incomprehensible. And Paul sees it, and then God said, listen, you can't say anything. They're not going to believe it. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. So he comes back, and then he says, live for Christ, but to die is gain. He saw it. He said, to die is gain. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. I saw it. Saw it, you know. And I'll stand on the track, and that train hits me. Okay, I saw it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Amen? You see what I'm saying? So it's a powerful section and how it affects our belief system and how we function in this life. How we function in this life. So it is against this background that Paul declares his conviction. Now we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians, but he declares this conviction. This happened to him, so he declares this conviction. The earthly tent, when the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God. Now think about this. I mean, I want you with me. We read this, you know, okay, and the little kids go to Sunday school, and they'll build a tent, and they'll put Paul in it and take him out. I'll say, no, let's go a step farther than that. He said, no, I'm telling each one of you, when the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God. We got another place. We got another body coming. We have a building from God. An eternal house in the heaven. He's talking about our body. An eternal house in the heaven, not built by human hands. Confidently, Paul says, he would prefer to be away from this body and at home with the Lord. He knew it. I mean, you just say, where's somebody? We're going to kill you. You know, he got to do a little jig. Ha, praise Jesus. You know, I'm going, oh, shucks, man, I don't know what Lynn's going to do. I hope she's upset I'm gone. You know, it's like that. But Paul, you couldn't, there wasn't anything you could do to him because it ushered him into the presence of the Lord. He's fearless. But he's fearless because of what he knew. He wasn't just inherently brave. He knew, you know, I'm going to take you out of your house, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to burn it down, and I'm going to give you $10 million and a mansion. Burn that sucker. You see what I mean? See, that's how Paul understood. That's how he saw that. That's how he functioned, you know. So he functioned in that way. And now he had some people with him that didn't function that way. You know, they were with him. And, okay, Paul, you're on your own, buddy. I'm staying home. I mean, he did this. You know, remember Demas? He says, Demas, he left me. Went the way of the world. You know, Demas, mm-mm. I'm going to work on this tent. You can go to your tent. Mm-mm. You know, you're just pressing this too far. I'm into the forgiveness thing, but we got, you know, I don't know what Demas said that. But that's what happened. Even the people around him, it's like, you're taking this a step too far. Huh? that's what they were saying to him. And it's the scripture in there. You read it, you know. Everybody left me, but Luke, you know, Luke's just writing all this stuff down. Yeah, he's just writing it down. You know, remember Luke's introduction to the book of Acts and the book of Luke? He said, I'm going to tell you everything I saw. He's just writing it down. See? He says, I can't leave. God, I got to get the closing on this. You know? So, again, I'm trying to make the reality of the human reality of what's happening here. What's happening here? So this is the reason that Paul says, I'd rather be home with Jesus. He meant it. And so here we have, look at 2 Corinthians 5:1, and this is saying the same thing. 2 Corinthians 5:1, the overhead to this. And it says this, "For we know," now I won't pause there, being a little elementary, read those first three words. Read them. "For we know." I'm going to step back. Do you? Do you know? You know? Because no, "for we know." Do we know? If we knew, I think we'd do stuff different. If we knew. We say we know, but it hadn't affected our behavior. You see what I mean? So really, we don't really know. You know, we're gaming the system. You know. Okay. So here it is. "For we know that if the tent of this earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Our home, where our citizenship is. See, our citizenship in heaven becomes our confidence. Man, Paul's a tough cookie in here. Believe in the other. Paul, these people keep threatening to send me home. Yeah, no, they're trying to kill me. He don't know that. They're just threatening to send me home. His view was different. See, and so what made him who he was is because of who he knew. That's what made him who he was. It's who he knew. And therefore he functioned in that way. That made him the man he is. It makes us the man or woman we are. So it goes on and says this in 2 Corinthians 5:6-9. So we know we have a home. We know that we can do no worse than go home and be with Jesus where we want to go. Then he says this, the natural flows because of this, verse 6, "so we are always of good courage." Oh, you know, I'm going to be filled with the Spirit and I will be filled with good courage and he'll give me supernatural to overcome this situation. Okay. But no, if you know this, if you know it, you'll be full of good courage. "I'm going home." You see what? Because he knew that. So we are always of good courage because we know where our citizenship is. And the worst thing that can happen to us is to go home, which is the best thing that can happen to us. You see the logic? Now, that's Paul's logic, and he's telling us about it. Demas is going, "Paul, I don't know, buddy." You know, mm-mm. Now, we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. "Oh, fill me with the Holy Spirit, and I'll be full of Christ, and I'll just be in his presence. You'll be in my presence." Okay, that's a good step. But to experience the reality, you need to shed the body and be in his presence. See? So, Paul says, "I know that. You know that. We know that." And so we know that while we're in the body, we're away from the Lord. We got, you know, I'm going to tell you something. We got to live in this crappy world. I mean, that's it. We do. And there's nothing he's going to do to fix it. No, that's why you're here, to show Jesus, you know. Now, we're at home in the body and away from the Lord. Now, this verse, I hear this verse quoted. It's a great memory verse because it's only like five words long. But people quote it all the time, you know. "We walk by faith, not by sight." You know, "I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to walk by faith, not by sight. I'm going to buy a car. Walk by faith. Send my kids. I'm going to walk by faith." I don't mean to be disrespectful, but it's a good application. But it's not what it's talking about. He's talking about going to heaven. He's talking about going home. That's what he's talking about. I mean, he can help you get a good car, and you don't walk by faith, not by sight. You know, okay. He can help it. He will do that, and we can claim. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about going home to be with Jesus. That's in the context. That's what this verse is talking about. Now, again, I don't want to discourage. Somebody's got it on their refrigerator and having their kids memorize it and stuff. And hey, go ahead and do it. That's a good thing. I mean, it's not bad. It's good application. I don't want to take anything away from that. All right. But that's just not context. We're always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Thomas, bless those who haven't seen me and believed. Yes, we are of good courage. Now why? Now we're of good courage. I'm filled with the Spirit. And I'm going to succeed. I'm going to be prosperous. And, you know, every business decision is going right. We are encouraged. No, that's not what that said. We are in good courage. We'd rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. It's all about being in the presence of Christ. So whether we are at home or away, we make our aim to please Him. So we're away, and we're going to make our aim to please Him, because He's going to come anytime, anytime, anytime. That's our home. He's going to come anytime, and it affects our way of thinking. See, that's the whole thing, that we know we have a home in heaven. So we thought, I want to please Him. Jesus is going to be back. 30 minutes, okay, get the house clean and get the dishes done, get a piece of cake. Let's please Him. You know, I like that. Or He's coming tomorrow. Okay, let's just get things just thinking. We want things working right when He comes back. The point I'm making, we start thinking different when you think He can come anytime. Anytime. Which, by the way, the Bible says He can come anytime, anytime whatsoever. Now, so Paul was always confident in even the face of death, because he realized that when he left this body, he would take up residence in the presence of the Lord. Being absent from the body equals being present with the Lord, in residence with the Lord. Absent from the body is in residence with the Lord. This means that the same moment of death that marks the destruction of our body, it also marks the taking up of our permanent residence with the Lord. At that moment, what did Jesus say to the thief on the cross? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. At that moment when he died, that thief was in the presence, in paradise. And that's what I'm saying. We need at that moment. So in being at home with the Lord, is a higher form of reality with the intimate fellowship of Christ. Being home is the higher reality. See, we think this is it. This is the dream. This is the foggy dream. It even says in Isaiah, you're going, well, I'm not sure what happened back then. See, because we go into the reality. And he's making this big point here. He's in fact doing a lot of writing about it. So this is greater than anything we can experience on earth. And I don't know how. I just have to put it in human terms, because when Paul had a peek, he didn't tell anybody. So you got to guess. You know, if he told me, I would read it to you. But he didn't tell us. But I got to believe, oh, this is the most fun I ever had in my life. God said, oh, you ain't seen nothing yet, buddy. Oh, this is a bad dream. You didn't see nothing in my presence. How could anything be better than this? You're going to vacation. How could be anything better than this? He goes, God goes, hey, I judge this world. It's all busted up for sin. And you think this is the height? You didn't see nothing yet. You didn't see nothing yet. I mean, that's just like a bad dream. You know, you're going to go gag. Oh, geez. Oh, my. See, that's what, so he's telling us this. So we got the info up front. You know, I always say, I go to hell. God, I didn't know. You know, and I think a lot of people go up there, I didn't know, because they never looked at it, never studied, never cared about it, you know. But anyway, let's go on. That's a different message. So let me see. So what we have here, to understand it, this is incomprehensible, this heaven of eternal life living with Christ. We can't even comprehend it. So let me repeat. Understanding citizenship helps us live our life and face death. Number one, we're not tormented by physical death. We're not tormented by it. because we understand that is the only reality, is only a reality of going home. Of going home to be with Jesus. Number two, we will see that our life here on earth has an eternal impact and also has associated heavenly rewards. This will help determine the earthly decisions we make. Yeah. I'm making this decision because this will make me happy. I'll make this decision because this is making me sad. I'll make... Who's the center of the universe? Me. See? I make decisions like that. Or you might make it, this will help my family, you know. Or it just gets bad. No, this is what... I make the decision because this is what God wants. And He works the universe, and I won't have to give accounting before Him. Amen? See, all of a sudden, see, we have a world view, you know. I was at some of these economists, people, and, you know, government people. We have a world view of a world working together. They got a microscopic cellular view. It's a pinpoint in eternity. God's going, no, I got the whole deal. And you don't have a clue what you're talking about. You know, you can't see past your nose. You see what I'm saying? Because, well, this is the best I see, and I believe that. You just can't see nothing. You see what I'm saying? And so you kind of understand. And this is what Paul's telling us. He's trying to give us an understanding that. So now we're going to kind of wrap it up. And so he comes to this conclusion. So all this stuff. So he comes to the conclusion of everything we said. Here's the conclusion. 2 Corinthians 5, 9, and 10. So, and again, remember the word so. So, based on everything else. So, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. Because He's going to show up. He's going to show up for dinner. Better set a second place. I've never done this. But it has a good point. They taught me to have small groups. You know, you have your small groups because Jesus appears in a small group. You know, He didn't come and said, you always set up your chairs. I always set an empty chair because He's in it. See? It's like you set the table. Set empty because He's coming. See? So that's the whole idea. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear. Now, back up. All. Who's all? He's talking to Christians. He's not talking to lost people. For all. Who in here is all? We're all, you know? So we're all going to be here. We're all, okay. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. For each one, how many? Each one, all, each one. For each one may receive what is due. I thought this was by faith and not works. And here we got a due in here. We got a due. So that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Holy good night. Oh my. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ paid for my sin, not of works. I am forgiven. Absolutely. Amen. That's good. Amen. Welcome in, kids. Now we're going to have the kids line up. Now, you never cleaned your room. You're never nice to your mother. You're my kid. But you never did one thing I ever told you. Okay, but you're in. All right. Here's it. Look at your brother. He just loved me. You don't even have to. He would think of stuff to do. Like, God bless you. You get four popsicles. But they're still your kids. Everybody getting in. But you're gonna. He says right here, each one may receive what is due, what he has done. Christian, you're going to be given rewards based on what you've done. Right here, it is. Yeah. Neighbor comes out. I'm not the one to talk to him. He's the most negative guy I know on the planet. you know, I'm going to just back up into the garage and get in the car. You know, I didn't do nothing. I get no blessing for not talking to this guy, you know. You see what I'm saying? Who is it? It's me. You didn't. You know that guy, he just saw a Billy Graham crusade and he wanted to ask you a question. You went in the garage. You know, well, I didn't know that. Well, you don't have to know. You're just supposed to do what you're supposed to do and let me take care of the rest of it. So, I was going to give you this blessing. Set it up. Set the whole thing up. I'm going to give you this blessing. And you went in the garage. You don't get it. You don't get it. You know, I'll call Linda. She'll do it. She'll get the blessing like she got the rest of it. But anyway, but you see what I'm saying? So, but read what it says. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body. Now here we're going to do it again. Grab your little cheek. What have you done while you're in this thing? While you're in this thing. While you're in this thing. Now look at the next clause. And some people have, I mean, I've seen absolutely books written on this next three words. You're going to receive what is done in the body, whether good or evil. Now, this is to believers. This is to believers, whether good or evil. You know, how can they get away with that? They're a believer and they just do this. You know, this person just tries as hard and doesn't. Everything's falling apart, but they just keep trucking. This guy doesn't do nothing. It seems like God's blessing. What's going to happen? They're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And this guy's going to get the rewards poured out on him. And this guy's going to get big goose egg. He's going to get the goose egg. That's what it says. See, he had an reward set up for him and wanted to give it to him, but he didn't do it, so he couldn't give it. Therefore, the evil prevents him from receiving what he could have received. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, you got something to do, and the Lord said, I'm using you, and you're going before the judgment seat of Christ. And I might as well take this way deep. Way deep. So we talk about this, and I was talking kind of some silly things. But you know what else it judges? Your attitude. What you think. It's like, I mean, I can imagine what some of you are thinking now, like, oh, good poop. You know, it's like, oh, Lord, you got it. Come on, Lord. That's been, no, what you think. Jesus said, what you think in your mind. So it got to go to the heart. It got to go to the depths of the heart. It's between you and Jesus. He listened, Wallace, you know, I wouldn't just do that, but you were thinking this. Linda's sitting beside me. She, I didn't know you were thinking that. Well, I'm telling you, but you see what I'm saying? It goes to the depth of the core of who we are. Jesus knows everything we think, our motivations, and you know, it talks about really, you know, sins. Okay, how much? I won't convict your socks off. Okay, you've heard it say, "Do not murder." Amen. We don't. I say, don't be angry with your brother. Oh, my. I mean, I got a whole list of mental homicides over here. I mean, it's like, oh, my gosh. I'm in deep trouble. I mean, it's like I'm in deep trouble on this, you know. Because it was just a momentary thought. It was like a, but you see what I'm saying? But so where you're coming here, so the apostle, how in the world could the apostle Paul manage through this? He gave him a peek into heaven. And he told him beforehand, this is what you have to suffer. He told Thomas, people that believe haven't seen, blessed are they. See, so he's telling all this stuff. So the point here, the verses up before that, it says, I'll go back to verse 6, it says, always be of good courage. You know, I'm trying to deal with my mental homicides over here, and it's like, oh, man, be a good turd. Okay, God, I forgive. Forgive me. Oh, Lord, I confess. I wash me with your blood, and I'll just, you know, call them all up and take them out to dinner. I stopped it. You see what I'm saying? It's like your whole attitude changes. And I'm going to say this. I just say that we're saved before the Lord. It's going to be a glorious time. But I want to tell you something. We don't get away with nothing. We don't. Don't think you're getting away with something. You're not. You're not going to get. Now, he's going to take you. I mean, it's going to be a good place. And I mean, don't think you're going to be sad about being there. But I said, now, I wouldn't say this because I would know the truth. Why is Linda up there? And she's got that throne about 10 stories taller than my throne. How did he do that? You know, I don't think that was fair. And it's like, nah, it was fair. You know, I'm fortunate I have this one in the basement. You know, my throne's in the basement, but that's okay. But she's 10 stories. I can't. And it's like, because God, it says, I'm going to bless you in what you do, how you carry out your Christian life. There are going to be blessings, praises, and rewards for you. And you're going to forfeit those praises, blessings, and rewards based on your actions. You achieve them based on your actions. You forfeit them based on your actions. But you're all children. And again, bring your children before you. You know? You've got the one that bends over backwards to do what they should, is so obedient. And the one, you know, over here that is bound and determined, wherever you draw that line, he's going to step over it. You don't care where it is. You know, he can put it on the deck. He's going to step over it. In a minute, here or here, he just draw one. You see? But they're still your kids, and you love them. You go out to dinner, and you take them, you know. One's eating pleasant, makes the happy family time. The other one just tears the foods all over the table, crying half the time. You have to walk out in the car back then. But he's still your kid. But he ain't still in the family. You know, he's still in the family. You don't stop feeding him. All right? So, but when we get into heaven, praise God, the little type will receive a transformed body. He's going to get by. He's actually going to act better. You know, he's going to get a new body, new mind, and everything. And he is going to behave the way Christ wanted him to in heaven. He didn't here, but he will in heaven. You see what I mean? So the blessing, we all get the new body with the same character of Christ. And there's none of that dissension in heaven. But walking it out for eternal rewards, for eternal eternity, we are judged based on what we do here. Amen? Now, I even forgot where I was here. I had so much fun with that. Now, the point is, and I've already said it, but this is standing before the judgment seat of Christ, okay, this is related with rewards and not status as holy, pure children of God. We all stand before him as holy, pure children of God. When we're before him, we're holy, pure children of God, period. But some are going to receive rewards. But we all stand before him, and we all get renewed, glorious bodies. Glorious bodies. So we stand before God. Now, it's hard to put this together, but we stand before God as right as God. Now that's hard to comprehend, but when we stand before God, we stand before him as right as God, because Christ has taken away all sin. So we're right. There's nothing held against us. So we're right. You see. And this, why I love this verse so much, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become as right as God. I mean, you can't get more right than God. It's right as God. You're standing, you're as right as God. Welcome. You're as right as God. All of them. Everybody. We're on the one line. You're as right as God. All right? That's, as right as God. And so, Linda, you're as right as God. And I walk over here and he says, Linda, wait a minute. Here's a wheelbarrow full of rewards for you as you go. I didn't get nothing. Why did she get everything? You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to make a picture of what's happening. But his right is gone. But, you know, I think we're going to be happy to see people get their rewards. I'd be tickled to death the Apostle Paul just get a boatload of rewards. I'm just going to praise Jesus for him. I mean, I'm going to have that glorified body. And it's like, man, thank you, God. Man, pour him on it. I'll even say that about Linda. God, pour it on her. She deserves it. You know, I like that. I'm just happy to be here, you know, in my righteous body now. So, what makes the difference? Where's our citizenship? If our citizenship is here, we're going to be miserable people. We're going to be miserable. If we think this world is going to fix it, we're going to be miserable people. The only thing that can fix things is Jesus. Is Jesus. And we are one country, the church, one country, one citizenship. One. And that's why he wants it. One. And when he comes back, that's how we're going to spend eternity. One citizen, one group of citizens in one country. Amen? That's what we look. Hallelujah. But again, let that impact us here in the way we walk. Okay. We're not in heaven. Don't try to make it heaven. It's not going to work. I mean, we're to do good. We won't stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I helped there. I shared Christ. I helped people. You know, I did everything I could to promote your name. See, that's what we're supposed to do. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you that we are citizens of heaven. Citizens of heaven. Thank you, dear God. We thank you that we have a home to go to. We have a home that we're going to have a glorified body that's going to look like the Lord Jesus' body. That's going to emulate the Lord Jesus' body. They have the power of the Lord Jesus' body. And we're going to live for eternity with him in a place that's beyond description. With your blessing. With your blessing and your goodness. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for this promise. And Lord, help us have that view of where our home is, and have the view that we're citizens of heaven, so that it impacts us here as we live out our life and live it for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom we'll live our life for all eternity. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we are forgiven through you, dear God, and we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.